And in our looking and sharing together of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, his essential ministry, which you cannot do without. Without it, nothing. There is no creation. There is no saving grace. There's nothing. If the Spirit of God doesn't do his assignment, nothing. Nothing at all. So therefore, as we did through looking at that, and here in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 18, you will notice verse 17. Verse 18 is the last reference for the Spirit of God in the book of Ephesians. But in verse 17 is the next to last. So, chapter 6, verse 17. And to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, and we did that of late when we did Ephesians chapter 6 a little bit. So, but I think it would be helpful just to see from start to finish the Spirit of God's essential, how he works. So, and how what his assignment is. So, in order to do that, we'll exercise God's Word, because it says the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. It's his sword. It's his way to defend. It's his way to be offensive, offensive, defensive. It's his way to do. It takes the Word. So therefore, we're going to look and understand that the Spirit of God, we're going to find him using, exercising, explaining what he does by the Word of God. The Word of God is going to explain what he does and how he does it. So, over to Genesis chapter 1. And starting at square one, and you'll notice in verse one, in the beginning, there is no the, it's a beginning. It's not the, and then there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth. No, it's a beginning, in the beginning, looking at the beginning. God always is at the beginning. And it's the same in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, and the word, no the, beginning. Now, so, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. It was just there. Like, I'll use the illustration, because it's going to come out that way. You and I, us humans, were made not out of nothing. We were made from the dust of the ground. That's how God took. God took the dust, the dirt, and made you. So some things he makes out of nothing. God took the dust and made you and I, us, Adam and Eve, from the dust of the ground. Now, so here, verse 2. And the earth was without form, had no loose, nothing was in order. And void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. The word's intensive and continuous, participle. He's continually busy. He's going to move, going to fashion. He's brooding over, moving, doing. He's going to do something. Like God makes us out of the dust of the earth, God's going to take creation. There's nothing. And God's going to take that nothingness and put it all in order. So, and verse 2 again, the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God was busy creating it all, putting it all together, masterfully putting it all out, everything in order. That's what his job is. Now, having said that, so we come now, jump all the way over to the New Testament. And the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, where are you, Luke? And in chapter 1, you would recall and know, the Spirit of God now is going to go from material creation, literally the physical creation, going to go, and he's going to, we're going to have the same little word, and you're going to see it in chapter 1, verse 35, as you know, the Spirit of God is going to create a human body for God to come. But God the Son needs a place, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make a human body, a perfect human, for him to find his dwelling place. He becomes incarnation, the God-man. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto him, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow, just like in Genesis 1, 2, overshadow, brood, mood. He's going to do what he has to do. And the angel answered in verse 35 and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, and you know, tie that together so you'll have it all. Back over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. And picking up, if I may, the Spirit of God's ministry is to conceive. The man is missing. Where does sin come from? From the human, Adam. So how do we get born? The woman's egg and the man brings sin. Man, the seed, egg, seed, comes together. And the man brings sin. If we can eliminate man, we'd eliminate sin. God eliminated man, and the Spirit of God did what humans would do. The Spirit of God took over, and he did it. That's why he's the sinless Son of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, as you know, verse 3, but just a little context. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, we always do the sin. You go, you're sacrificed, then you go and sacrifice again. And every day and every year, you sacrifice, but never ends. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, verse 5, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And that's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God provides the body. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. He provides the body in a most wonderful way. Now, so that's what he does. That's his ministry. So now, having said that little bit, slide back over to the Gospel of John. And in chapter 1, and in John chapter 1, and take it right like you did in Genesis 1:1. Now here's the Gospel of John, pointing to God, Christ, God in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, in beginning, or the beginning, as the English, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Son, the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator, and the Spirit of God outworks the creation, He prepares a body so that the Word, the Son of God, can become flesh. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Spirit of God got made possible the wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. So, having that awesome, awesome transaction, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Now, having said that, the Spirit of God has his ministry to take the Word, that's the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to take his words, that's the Spirit of God's ministry. So, and sliding over if I can, and remember down in verse 18, and no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is to make God the Father understandable, visible, as it were, in his flesh, to know God. How are we going to know God? Through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that going to happen? The Spirit of God's ministry is going to take all that Jesus Christ makes possible and bring it home to your heart and mind. That's his ministry, to take the Word and the words of his Word to your heart. Not my ministry and not your ministry, his ministry. So you don't say, well, I'm going to do it. No. And you know from Peter, that we did, 2 Peter, that no scripture is any personal interpretation. All scripture is done by the Spirit of God for the Spirit of God's wonderful assignment is to make real and right all of the wonderful words of God. That's his assignment. So, and he is to go in chapter 1, verse 18. His job is to explain God, to make God, to declare, to explain, to expound, so you understand God. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, going over just to see it, put it all together, in 1, 2, 3, John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, verse 16. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross? You can't have the benefits of Christ's saving death in the fullness. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob can rest in God's saving work, but he had to die on the cross. In other words, you have the check. Abraham was given the check, and Isaac was given the check. A check is valid. If you cash the check, the check is to what? Pay the ransom to save your soul. They couldn't cash the check till Christ dies on the cross. So they all had their checks. And when Christ died on the cross, he paid the bill. And that's why you know in Christ's resurrection, he did what? Before he went going up, he went to paradise. Remember he said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So what are you going to do? Well, before you go up, you paid the bill. So you go down, and here's He is Adam and Abel and Moses and all the Old Testament people that died. They're in paradise. And Sheol, Hades, they're there. They can't go up till he dies. You have to pay the bill. He paid the bill and he emptied. He took all of those saved people of Old Testament and brought them up. They couldn't go up till he paid the bill. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so chapter 14, because Christ paid the is going to pay the bill on Calvary's cross, then it is possible, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter of the same kind. And he what's the purpose of the comforter? That he may abide with you forever, that he may be an ever-present help to your heart. Verse 17, this one who's going to abide in your heart and be an ever-present help, even the Spirit of truth, he's going to bring the truth of God. And whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, knoweth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, because you're trusting the Lord as your Savior. And because you know him, for he dwelleth with you, he's right now here, and he shall be in you. He's going to be in you. When I die on the cross, he's going to go and place you in the body of Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, just getting that part, when Christ died on the cross, the Spirit of God's ministry can now bring all of the benefits. You don't need a check anymore. You don't need a check. You got cash. You don't need a check. You get all the benefits. You don't need to pay for anything. It's been paid for. All of it's been paid for. So you don't need him. You don't need anything. All you need is a relationship to Jesus Christ, and everything's been paid for. It's called eternal life. Everything's been done. Now, hang on. So therefore, when we come over to verse 26, chapter 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. His ministry is to bring all the benefits that Christ has made possible, and the Lord in the upper room, etc. Chapter 13, 17, God in the upper room, telling them all the benefits. Now they aren't going to remember them. They don't. The Spirit of God got all the words. That's his ministry. And he's going to make sure that they have all the words. They have all the words that they need to hear. And the Spirit of God's going to, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Going to make it. So you got it. What are you going to do? So now, having said that, he's going to bring us into all truth. Now, over in chapter 16. Chapter 16, and go to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Why is he going to bring you into all truth? Because the Spirit of God, the Lord just said, chapter 14, verse 26, the Comforter which has come, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said. So is there going to be something missing that we need? No. Nope. And while I say that, hang on to your thought. Back over to chapter 16, and you'll catch it in the context. Chapter 16, remember the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, verse 7, is expedient, it is necessary, For you that I go away, said the Lord Jesus, if I go not away, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, will not come. I go to heaven and secure it for you in my personal presence, said the Lord, and he's down here locking it all in. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then you've got the sin, verse 19, that's the one sin. That's why you can tell anybody anywhere they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will save them. That's all they have to do. You didn't ask about their life. They could be an average, normal human being has lived all of their life in the light of their old nature, and it all needs to be paid for. Every moment of our existence has to be paid for. Christ died on the cross and paid for all our sin. And all you have to do is receive him. He's made it all possible, and no check is needed. You just take, he's going to be everything you need. Of righteousness, go to my Father, judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. They're not in the place. We did the Gospel of John, and they had to go fishing, and he was resurrected, and they thought it was all over. And they had to wake up to the fact that because they had seen him resurrected, and then he had disappeared, it must be all over. And it was just the beginning. And they had to find that out. So, therefore, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's what his ministry is going to be, to show you wonderful, wonderful things to come. And he shall glorify me, said the Lord Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So God's going to do that wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to help us understand in a very wonderful way all that Christ has made possible on Calvary's cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And he's going to take the Word, that's our Lord Jesus, the words, all his words from God's given the Bible, and God's going to take all his words that he gave and the Word and the words and his works and all that he made possible to bring it home, to bring it to your heart when you and I receive the Lord as our Savior. He brings to the heart all of the truth, all of it. You don't do a thing. It's his ministry to bring to you everything. Everything that God has made possible in Christ brought home to your heart in one wonderful moment when you received him as your Savior. That's why we read in 1 John in that. We say, do you know everything in 1 John chapter 3? Yeah, we know everything. We have everything. And then you look at each other and say, no, hold it. Because what's it saying? What's it saying? I'll do it another way. Here's the riches, all the riches in him forever. And all the riches are there. And here's the believing heart, like even today, right now, here's the believing heart saying there, I have everything. And you all look at him, here's everything. And I tell you, I have everything. So you all look, and you don't see this, do you? All you see is this. But I understand, I have this. Do you understand? I already have this. So I can say, I am complete. I lack nothing. I have everything. You don't. You're just like me. You have the same flu bug as everybody else. Ah, but I am different. I have something you don't have. You need to know the Lord as your Savior. When you know the Lord as your Savior, God brings you. And you get saved. And God saves you like this. And you live like this. But all the while you have this. All the while. I remember years ago, I thought of it the other day. Years ago, it's a silly illustration, but maybe not. You don't have it. You only have what you have. And years ago, just to show you God's kindness, I was on vacation, one of those rare times I took a vacation. And in those times, and I was in Florida. And in the process, I had my family, all of them, there. And I went to get ice cream. And I got the ice cream, you know, you go up to the place to pay for the ice cream. So everyone said what they wanted, and they got what they wanted. And then I went to pay it. And I didn't have enough money to pay it. I just didn't have enough money to pay. So I said, well, you have to take some back. And the man and his family behind me reached over and said, I'll take care of the difference. And all I could say was, thank you. Thank you. I never forgot it. Thank you. I do the same. A wonderful thing. Yeah, God backs it up. God backs it up. I'm here, but I always have here. Do you understand that? That's worth a thousand hours of your thinking if you grab that. Now, having said that, that's what tissues are for. Now, Therefore, in the light of that, the Word become flesh, His Word. Over to John 6. And 63. Yeah, 63. Right to the annual note. And we do it, but just go right to the light of the context. 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that, present tense, is the Spirit which is quickening, making alive. The flesh profits nothing. So your word, thought, deed, doing, thinking, coming, profits nothing. You can't replace Christ. You can't go to this. This. I need this. That's what I need. Take that away. I just got this. I got me and whatever I got in my wallet. That's what I got. Most people live like this. They have this, maybe, if they're saved. But they don't do that. No, I don't. Hang on. Now, so, the words, 63. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God gives the word and the words life. He is at his job is to take the wonderful saving work of Christ on the cross and all of the wonderful truths and promises and benefits and blessings and to bring them forward. And therefore, the words of God are quick and powerful. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. I don't take the Word of God. You don't take the Word of God. God takes His Word. God takes it. I'm going to make something work. I'm going to try to get to it, to practice it, see it. Anyway, let me keep going. So, So we're going to look at the Word of God. And the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So they're the breath of God, the life of God, the words of God, the work of God. All of that is wonderfully, 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 wonderfully real, real and right. So the Spirit of God, He is the experiential life giver. He's the one that makes it. You're supposed to have an experience. You have an experience when you eat. You have an experience when you brush your teeth. You're to have a wonderful, the reality of God. It's not something pie in the sky out there. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make this relationship real. Real. I mean real. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, keep that in mind. Let me skip down for time's sake, I guess. And go and remember now, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all in the Nicene Council in 325 AD, when they met, affirmed of the faith of the Spirit of God, affirm the faith in the Spirit of God and His words. In other words, it's interesting, how all these church councils, understandably, in history. But in the early church, they didn't have any councils. They just had the Bible and the Spirit of God. And they believed it. And it went pretty good. So humans started getting in and said, well, we need to help God understand something and do something. A church, we lost the whole order of a New Testament church. We lost it. It disappeared. Till we have the Reformation and all of that kind of thing. Now, so therefore, the Spirit of God, that's what they affirmed. The Spirit of God, His ministry is legit. Well, it's always been legit. It's always legit. You don't need to have a council to know it. No one has to tell me it's legit. He is legit. So therefore, picking up Hebrews, we said the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It takes the Word of God. So therefore, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. And if I may. And we know what we know about the Word of God. So, and you remember the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Verse chapter 4, Hebrews, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, made clear, very visible, clear in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry takes this word in all of its fullness and brings all of that wonderful word to work. And he knows. He's omniscient and he knows it all. So the Word of God can go to the very cubbyhole in your little closet and fix anything and knows everything. So keeping that in mind, the Spirit of God, that's what he does. He knows. So God's going to take his word and help us in every way. 2 Timothy, and add to that. 2 Timothy began in chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are reminded that all, verse 16, as you know, I'll read verse 15, context. I'll read verse 14. Timothy had a wonderful background in the sense that he was given instruction. Verse 14. This is chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hath been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine. Remember what you read in John 6:63, all flesh, it's not profitable. Here it is profitable. Flesh is not profitable. Scriptures are profitable. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The purpose, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that he may have everything that is needed in every way, all the words in every way, so that the Spirit of God can take and make us his witnesses. So we are very conscious of God in a very in an understanding way, not in a ignorant way. So, now over, if I can, in 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, picking up, if I can, just to see it. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and in verse 20, you'll catch it. 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to take all the word and make it profitable. For, and here we are going, verse 20. For all promises of God in him in Christ are yea, yes, and in him amen, so be it. And that is true for the glory of God. And how so? It's by us. We're supposed to enjoy truth, the God of all truth, the truth of God in its awesome fullness, to enjoy it. And so we exercise that truth in an awesome way. And the Spirit of God in us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. So all of it, the Spirit of God is going to make real and possible. So that Paul is now going to give his testimony because he's trusting Christ like that, abiding, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians and verse 14. You remember that whole section when we did 2 Corinthians. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's where we always have everything at all times. And maketh manifest, public, clear, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. So, the Spirit of God, wonderful ministry is to have believers. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And we're to go and enjoy truth, the God of all truth. How are we going to enjoy the God of all truth? By the truth of God. Where are we going to get the truth of God? The Spirit of God's ministry. That's his job, to take the truth of God and make it very real. That's what he's going to do. So we always have that fullness, always have everything, even though we don't know everything. We don't. We don't need to. God knows it. God knows it. And this is God's business, is to outwork that relationship experientially, to outwork it in a wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that, over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll remember many times, we keep referring, going back, to keep us in mind what? of the Spirit of God's ministry. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So, we're looking to God, and you cannot, without loving God, you aren't going to know what. God has prepared the outworking of all that God has in mind for the human heart. He saves them. He created them, saves them, and has a wonderful, eternal future to outwork. That's what he's going to do. That's his ministry. And so, like we read in verse 9, the ship pulls up to the dock to take the journey across the ocean of time. And the ship pulls up to the dock, and God gets saved, and God loads the ship with everything that it needs. Has enough eggs, I remember, and the ship ran out of eggs. Whatever you're doing. So, what are you doing? Have enough of everything as you go across the sea of life and you go across. So there's nothing magic. Storms, disease, sickness, coming, going, aging, all of that's there. But you always have everything. You have everything you need at 10 years old. Now you're 20 and you have everything you need. Now you're 40 and have everything you need. Now you're 50 and the Lord takes you. And you have everything you need. You have everything you need. Yeah. So God, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So God, you're doing what you do as only you can do it. And therefore, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us. How are we going to even know this stuff? God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to take all of the wonderful, wonderful benefits that God has determined to bring forth by way of his saving grace in your heart, in our heart. And God's ministry is to do that. And now the deep things of God. God's deep thing, that's a deep thought, yep. God, what are you going to do? You're going to help us understand in God's wonderful, wonderful fullness, the fullness that we already have in Christ. We already have it. Colossians, you can turn there for a minute. Colossians chapter 2. And you remind yourself. In Colossians chapter 2, picking up, please, if I may. In verse 9, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete, there's the word fullness, you are complete, full, filled full in him which is the head of all principalities and powers. So God, in Christ is all the fullness of God. And when you received him as your Savior, he brings to you what? The fullness of God. And to tie that, so you lock it in, over to Ephesians, right next, not a couple of doors away, God brings all that fullness. And you tie it in your mind. I'll sit there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, that's the body of believers, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The head has everything for the body. The body provides everything for the head. Now that's true. You do not have any brains, literally, in your stomach. You do not have a brain ache. You get a stomach ache, you can't get a brain ache. No. Everything in the head is in the brain. There's nothing in the head that's down below. Everything down below complements and provides for everything up above. The body provides for the head, its fullness. So the head provides its fullness for the body. It's complete, filled, full. That's the words. Not you're going to be filled full, you are. We're back to what we just illustrated. Now, keeping that in mind, if I can, over to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And let me get down, because we know where you're going here. And in verse 11, and what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man? We all know we're humans. We're humans, and we know in a human way each other our humanness, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So I'm not going to know it, and you're not going to know it. God knows it. And how are we going to? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We didn't earn them, deserve them, everything. They're gifts, the gifts, grace of God. And which, these things, how are we going to know them? That's why we got the Bible. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we're going to do. So God gives us his word, as we did in all of this. All the words of God, they're his words. All this, in the original language, is perfect. And anyway, now here's how God's word we have, the result of all of that. And so what are we going to know? Well, we have the word of God, and the word of God is going to go and provide everything. So, and make it all real. Now, you all know, in some, using just a illustration off the top of my head, you know that you know, I think you know, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now what? My shepherd. Spirit of God's ministry. I'm looking, you're counting on God. You're reading God's word. You're conscious it's God's word. You have to say, I don't know whether that's right or wrong. I'm going to read it anyway. No, I'm coming to the Bible believing it. I don't understand it, but boy, I better believe it. Because otherwise, I'm reading the Bible in an unbelieving way. And it looks good to me. It's my intellect. I'm reading it to understand. I'm looking up the word. I'm looking at spelling and the background to a word. All of that's wonderful. I better be believing. If I'm not believing, you can do it and have a wonderful little message up here. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Spirit of God's ministry, my shepherd. And now what's the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to take his word in your heart and head. What do you know? When you read 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now what are you going to do? Now, God, I read it. But you've been reading God's word, looking to God, and there's. Here's all the pieces of the puzzle that put him together. And what do you have? Well, you're reading, and you read, the Lord is my shepherd. You're looking for God to deal with your heart. He's my shepherd. And the Spirit of God can go, and if he chooses to help, and you do, because you know John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, and you will notice right off, I'm going to go directly because time's gone, verse 14, chapter 10 in the Gospel of John, and in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord Jesus said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. I know my shepherd, and he knows us. So, just taking that, and looking at that, verse 24. I don't even have time, but verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. You're not my sheep. And I said, and as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they are known, and they follow me. My sheep, my voice, my. It's all my personal. Now, how's it going to be personal? The Spirit of God makes it personal. He makes it personal. But I don't bother with them. That's why you don't have it. You won't have it. No, you won't. Guarantee it. People have been around for 40 years. They still have never got it. Never got it. They have the way they work at everything. They left God out. And God stamps it. God's going to do it. So therefore, chapter 10, and sliding over to verse 25, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and my Father are one. We're all one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You understand, the whole thing's one. And you're looking to God, and he does what he does. But you got to give him credit. You know, if you make God, like we see when we did Jeremiah, that what did the people do, among other things? They took God, who's way up here, as it were, out of the sight, higher than the heavens, and shrunk him down. They brought him down to their level so that they can think about him, pray about him, write about him, read about him, down here. That's what they did. They shrunk him down. And when you do that, you got a shrunken God. That's what you got. Anyway, you got to quit. Hope you got the Spirit of God's ministry. I'm trying to tell you, it's essential. It's awesome. It's complete. Anyway, I got to quit. Thanks. And trust God help us. If we can, thank you. Don't forget, Lord help us coming up here. Thank you.